Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Shaped to Make a Difference. In these teachings, Pastor Rick uses the acrostic SHAPE, your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences, to talk about the way God wired you and why you need to not just know your shape, but use it to do the things God made you to do. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the purpose-driven life, selected thoughts and scriptures for the graduate, a hardcover book that will help the student in your life with the decisions they'll face both before and after graduation. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Following Your Heart.
A couple weeks ago, we started this series that God never makes copies of anything. He only makes originals because originals are far more valuable than any copy. And that God made you for a purpose and He has wired you or shaped you uniquely, unlike anybody else in the world. We talked about how that in architecture, form follows function. In other words, tell me what you want the building to be used for and then I'll tell you how to build it. But the opposite is true with human beings. Function follows form. In other words, look at the way God formed you, how He shaped you, and then you'll know what you're supposed to do with your life. And we said that there are five things that make you you, your shape, S-H-A-P-E. Spiritual gifts, what am I gifted to do? Heart, what do I love to do? Abilities, what are my natural abilities? P, personality, and E, experiences. What are my unique experiences that nobody else in the world has had? These five things make you, they make up your shape. Now today we're going to look at the H in shape, which is your heart. And in Proverbs chapter 27, there on your outline, it says this. As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the person. Your heart is what makes you, you. Now when we talk about heart, we're talking about your interest, your passions, your desires, the emotional component of you, not your intellect, but the emotional component of you, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, that which motivates you to get up in the morning, what drives you, what excites you, what interests you. As I said, these are all the components of your heart. And your heart, the Bible tells us, affects everything you say, it affects everything you do, it affects everything you feel. And your heart is different than everybody else's heartbeat. Now, this is true not just emotionally, it's true physically. Did you know that your heartbeat is slightly different than everybody else's heartbeat in the world? Just like you have a thumbprint and an eye print and a voice print and a footprint that's unique, you also have a unique heartbeat. It's just slightly different than everybody else's. That's not only true physically, it is true emotionally. That there's some things that you're extremely interested in and other things you couldn't care less about. There are some things that are fascinating to you and you could think about them or talk about them for a long time, and other things you're bored to tears. There's some things that really get you excited, that wind your crank, that turn you on, that get your juices running. And there's some things that, frankly, they just leave you flat. You've got no interest in them at all. And God gave each of us a different emotional heartbeat. We all like different things, so that way everything in the world gets done. If we all like to do the same thing, if we all had the same loves, the same interests, there would be a lot left undone in the world. And so God has given us, just like different gifts we looked at last week, and if you missed the first 2 weeks of this series, I highly urge you to get the tape or the CD of the first 2 weeks so you're caught up with us. But on the heartbeat, we're all different. Now, let me just show this. For instance, how many of you would say, I don't just like dogs. I am a dog lover. I really love dogs. Can I see your hands? All right. These are the dog lovers. You're probably sitting next to a cat lover. Now, how many of you say, I'm not really into dogs, but I really, really love cats? cats. I love cats. And I'm a fanatic about cats. Can I see your hands? All right. How many of you would say, I couldn't care less about either? All right. Okay. See, we're all just different. How many of you would say, you know what? Like a fix, I have to have my football. I just love football. I got to have my football fix, particularly in the fall. Can I see your hands? Yeah. How many of you would say, if football was never again on TV, I wouldn't miss it? Can I see your hands? We just started some family feuds just there. I'll be doing marriage counseling after the last service. Well, the truth is we all have different interests. How many of you think it's rude when people on the bleachers leave early? Huh? Just thought I'd throw that in, you know. Just, you know, every once in a while, even I do a commercial. What can I say? Now, there are some things you care deeply about and some things you couldn't care less about. And where do you think that came from? It came from God. God hardwired it into your system. All your interests, the hobbies, the sports, the things that God put that in you. In fact, the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2. It is God who produces in you the desires. That's your interests, your passions, your desires, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, that which excites you. It is God who produces in you these desires and actions that please Him. God made you to be you. He doesn't want you being interested in stuff other people are interested in. He wants you interested in the stuff you're interested in. And He takes pleasure in enjoying you. He enjoys watching you enjoy His creation. God enjoys watching you receive enjoyment. Now, as I said, God placed this guidance system in you, your heart, this emotional component of your life, that determines what you say out of the heart, the man speaks, and what you do and what you feel and all these things. Now, here's an important thing. I want you to write it down. When I do what God shaped me to do, two things. I enjoy it and I'm good at it. When I do what God shaped me to do, I enjoy it and I'm good at it. These are two things that help you determine your heart, what kind of heart God gave you. Now, the first evidence of heart is that you enjoy it. You get pleasure in the things that God wired you to enjoy to do. You get enjoyment. You get satisfaction. The Bible says you delight in it. Now, I wonder how many of you really delight in your work. You feel, I was wired for this. I was shaped for this. I delight in my work. Most of the time, you have two attitudes toward your work. One of them is, good morning, Lord. And the other is, good Lord, it's morning. Now, which of those you say tends to be dependent upon whether you are shaped for that work and you have a heart for it or not. You see, when you do what you love to do, nobody has to pay you. Nobody has to reward you. You don't need a supervisor to do it. When you do what you love to do, you don't need external motivations. You don't have to have contests and competitions. You just flat out love doing what you're doing. You don't need any external thing. This is what I do. I pastor this church because I love to pastor this church. I was wired to pastor this church. I'm not going anywhere. I love this church. I do it for free. I don't take a salary here. You know, you're paid to be good, but I'm good for nothing. And I do it because I love to do it. And people say, you ever going to leave Saddleback? Of course not. I'm not going to leave Saddleback. I love this church. It's what I was wired to do. On the other hand, if you've ever been in a job that you weren't wired to do, you weren't shaped to do, if you've ever been in a job you don't have the heart for, it's a drag. If you've been in a job that you don't have a heart for, it's just boring you to tears and you're going, oh, I got to get out of here. And it's just a real drag. Today we're going to talk about how to follow your heart. Because your heart says a lot of God's will for your life. But the problem is our hearts get beat up, they get bruised, they get bumped around, they get broken. And we're going to talk about that. But one of the things that you know is that when you're doing what God gave you a heart to do, you flat out enjoy it. The other thing that you know you're doing what God made you do is you're good at it. If you're good at it, that's a pretty good indicator that God shaped you for it. You're productive. When you do what you have a heart for, you're creative, you're productive, you're effective. In fact, the secret of an effective life is simply this. Do what you love to do. Do what you love to do, and you'll be effective at it. If you don't love doing it, you'll never be effective at it. People are rarely successful at things they hate doing. Rarely, because they don't have any passion for it. You know, the top athletes, why are they so good? Because they love doing it. God gave them the heart to run or jump or surf or play basketball or whatever. And the guys at their top of the field, and the women at the top of the field, Olympic athletes, they don't do it for profit. They don't even do it for praise. They do it because of their passion. It is a passion with them. And that word passion is another word for heart. That when we talk about your heart and how God shaped you, it's your passion, that you're passionate about some things. And why is this important? Because only passionate people get things done. You're not going to accomplish much in life unless you're passionate about it. Moses was passionate about setting his people free from Egyptian bondage. Paul in the Bible was passionate about sharing the good news with everybody in the world. A guy named William Wilberforce, a Christian, was passionate about abolishing slavery from the British Empire, and he did it. All kinds of... Gandhi was passionate about liberating his country from British rule and having an independent India. A guy named Martin Luther was passionate about reforming the church in Europe, and the Reformation and the Enlightenment all came as a result of one man having a passion. And then another guy named Martin Luther King had a passion for equality and for justice and influenced the world. You only influence things when you're passionate about it. And so today we've got to look at uncovering those covered up passions in your life, those covered up interests in your life. Why? Because when you have a heart for something, you give it your best. If you don't have a heart for something, you don't. And the Bible calls this being fruitful. Look up here on the screen. Jesus said in John 15, "You give glory to my Father when you produce a lot of fruit." Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to have a fruitful life? It means you're productive, you're effective, you're creative. And the only way you bring glory to God is when you do what you were made to do. And God looks down and says, "You're doing it." And you enjoy it, and you're good at it, and it brings joy to you, and it brings joy to God. He says, you bring fruit. You bear fruit. You're productive. And he says, that gives me glory. It gives me honor. God made you to shine like a light in the world. He doesn't want you to cover up your talents, and he doesn't want to cover up your passions, your hearts, your interests. It brings him pleasure. You were made to shine. Look at this verse on the screen. Matthew 5. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds," what you were wired to do. Do the thing you were made to do. And he says, that's a witness, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Notice it doesn't say anything there about speaking. It says, let your light shine, not speak your light. Let your light shine before others so they may see, not hear, but see the good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When people become what God made them to be, it brings glory to God. And people go, praise the Lord. You were made to shine. Now, we were all made to shine. You were made to shine, but as life goes on, you tend to get a little dimmer. You don't stay as bright as God intended for you to be. Now, what I mean by that, every person, everybody in sound of my voice, God has put certain passions in your heart, certain desires, certain dreams, certain ambitions, certain interests. And we all are different in these ways. But the problem is this. Most people have never, ever really acted on or fulfilled or attempted or developed or utilized their God-given passions, their interests, their dreams. In fact, we bury our dreams. God doesn't want that. What keeps you from following your heart? Well, before we can talk about how to follow your heart, we need to deal with five heart stoppers. These things are like spiritual cholesterol. They block your heart. They stop your passions. They cause you to conform to society rather than being the unique person God meant for you to be. What are they? Number one, the number one heart stopper is disappointment. Disappointment. When you've been hurt, you tend to pull back into a shell and say, I'm never going to let anybody else hurt me. And you give up on your dreams. You give up on your ambitions. You give up on your interests, on your passions. And you pull back into a protective mode that says, don't get hurt is the number one goal of life. Bad idea. You're not living, you're just existing. When you live in a shell like that, it's a self-imposed prison. And the Bible says, when I have an expectation and then it doesn't turn out the way that I intended, then I get disappointed. In fact, it says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred, that means a dream, an ambition, a desire deferred, makes the heart sick. Well, if first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. You're normal. Almost nobody succeeds on the first try. But we often give up. And when we allow disappointment to come into our lives, it stops our heart. Number two is fear. Fear is the second heart stopper. It keeps you from being what God wants you to be. It's a self-imposed prison. Jesus told a story about this. He called it the parable of the talents. We actually get the word talent in English from this story out of the Bible. In the Bible, a talent was an amount of silver. It was a weight. It was an amount of money in silver. And he tells the story of this wealthy man who gives three servants. One servant, five talents, and one three, and one talent. And he says, go out and invest it. Make the most of what you've been given. That's what God says to you. Make the most of what you've been given. I'm not going to judge you according to anybody else, but make the most of what you've been given. One guy comes back, he's doubled his investment. God says, the master says, good job. Second guy comes back, he's doubled his investment. The master says, good job. The third guy comes back, says, well, I didn't do anything with it. He says, what? He says, no, I just buried it in the ground. He said, you buried your talent in the ground? Why? He said, I was afraid. It is fear that causes you to bury your talents. It is fear that keeps you from living your dream. It's fear that keeps you from attempting that goal. It's fear that corrals your passion and limits your vision and shrinks your heart. It's a heart stopper. There's a third thing, and it's guilt. Oh boy, this is a big one. You cannot be guilty and go after your dream at the same time. Why? Because guilt drains you of enormous amounts of energy. It's like carrying a big sack of garbage on your back all the time. You're going to get tired because you're carrying around all the regrets of your past, all the shame of your past, all the guilt of your past. You cannot be confident and guilty at the same time. That's why people lose their confidence. They lose their confidence because they think, what if somebody else finds out? And who did I tell that to? And who did I tell that to? And I've always got to be protecting myself. And they lose their confidence because they're guilty. Now, friends, God never intended for you to walk around with a bunch of guilt and regrets. That's what Jesus Christ came to do, to forgive it all. And he came to earth and he was nailed to a cross so you can stop nailing yourself to a cross. He was hung up for your hang-ups. He died for all your sins so they could be completely forgiven. He's paid for them so you don't have to pay for them. You can stop beating yourself up about it. Everything you've ever done wrong has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. That's called the gospel. Gospel means good news. It's the best news in the world. What's the best news in the world? Everything you've ever done wrong has already been forgiven. You just have to accept that forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him. That's called the good news. And when you do that and you realize everything I've ever done wrong or will do wrong, Jesus Christ has already paid for and forgiven, and all I have to do is accept it, what he did for me. Now that's going to set my heart free. And I'm going to move ahead and become what I've always wanted to be. because I'm not carrying this garbage bag of guilt and regret and shame around and beating myself up all the time. You can stop beating yourself up. Disappointment, fear, guilt. These are heart stoppers. The fourth one is another big one, bitterness. Bitterness will eat you alive. It's worse than cancer. It is the worst heart disease you can have, bitterness. Because when you become resentful and you're always thinking about how to retaliate and get revenge, and you're always thinking about that person who hurt you in the past, it keeps you stuck in the past. You can't get on with the present or the future because you're so hung up about that person who hurt you. Let it go.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, do you know someone who's graduating this year? Maybe it's your son or daughter, a grandchild, or perhaps a neighbor or family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. That's why Pastor Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. Filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and beautiful imagery, this unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life God has planned for your graduate, and it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world. You can go to PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. There are only 2 days left to get this powerful resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Google Plus or Instagram. By the way, I'm on all of these, and you can follow me on any of these. Let me know what you think of this broadcast. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website, PastorRick.com. Don't keep the good news to yourself. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We've got to pass it on to others. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.